Okay, so the last 2 days what we dealt with was the material of the baguette of tzitzis, right? What qualifies something as a baguette? So we're skipping a little bit, and then we'll go back to the question of, okay, well, now we know what it's made of, right? And if you remember, biblically, if it's wool and linen, so according to everyone, it's chayev. According to, it's a machlokas in the Gemara about other materials, whether they're chayev midarais or midarabanan. The Mechaber follows the Rambam and the Rif and says that they are exempt. Midaraisa and only alugid darabanan. The Rambam follows the Ashkenazi Rishonim, Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, etc., and says that they're biblically obligated. Then we dealt with leather, which the Gemara says is not even rabbinically obligated in synthetic materials. So now let's move to size. So how do we even get into this? This is, I know this is a bit confusing because it's always how the Gemara works, but how does the Gemara get into this? The Gemara gets into it because it has a statement that no one understands, which is Amar Bizeira, Amar of Masna. This is 5 lines from the bottom of the base. Amar Shmuel, Tchelet Ein Ba Mishum Kilayim Vafilu Betalit Ptura. Tchelet here presumably means tzitzis, not just tchelet, but we'll leave that for the moment, has no prohibition of kilayim, which again is the next circle you'll have to do after this, even in an exempt talus, right? Even an exempt garment. And the Gemara says, what does that mean? Right, that's often how these halachot come up, right? What are you talking about? So, my talit ptura, what is an exempt talit? So the Gemara says, possibility one is, ilema delet bashiura, if you think that the statement of this Gemara means that even in a baguette, which is not big enough to be obligated in tzitzit, if you put tzitzit on it, and those tzitzit have tchelet mixed, have tchelet, which are wool, and your baguette, let's say, is pishtan, is made of linen, and therefore it should be kilayim, even though you're not obligated in tzitzit, you still can take advantage of the exemption from, right, the exception from the prohibition of kilayim, of shatnez. That's not true. V'atanya, but the Brisa tells us that talit shekatan, shekatan mitkaseba rosho virubo. A talit, right, again, talit in the Gemara doesn't mean what we think of as a talus. It means any baguette, or any piece of clothing, any cloth, whatever, any cloak, that a child would cover his head and the majority of his body. Viha gadol yotzei baderech arai, and an adult would wear this clothing outside on a non-regular basis. Chayevet b'tzitzit.
We get a non-regular basis from
arai. Arai means not regularly, right? Keva means regularly, consistently, and arai means once in a while, not regularly. So chayev b'tzitzit, it is obligated in tzitzit. Ein akatan mitkaseh barosho virubo, and if a child can't cover his head and the majority of his body, avavisha gadol yotzei ba'arai, even if an adult would wear it out on a non-regular basis, ptura, it is exempt. V'chein l'inyan kilayim, and the same thing is true of kilayim. The Gemara says, v'avinan ba, my v'chein l'inyan kilayim. This was Daniel's question, right? What did that phrase mean? It's not clear to anybody. So, ilay v'chein l'inyan isuriti kilayim, if you think it means the prohibition of kilayim, meaning, it's not, v'anat ein arai b'kilayim. This halacha is not the case, meaning, unlike by tzitzit, where if the baguette is too small, you do not violate you're not obligated to put tzitzit on the baguette. Yeah? That's not true of kilayim. If you wear a glove that is made of kilayim, you violate, even though I would hope that you would be embarrassed to go out in public wearing only a glove and nothing else. I would hope. I can't be sure, but I would surely hope. So the Gemara says, it can't be. What the Gemara means is that the exemption of, or the exception to the rule of kilayim, that you're allowed to wear kilayim if it's tzitzit, that only applies to a piece of clothing that's in fact obligated in tzitzit, and therefore the standard for the size of a baguette for which you have to wear tzitzit is the same size for the one which you can take advantage of the permission to wear kilayim on this baguette. So therefore, then the Gemara continues, El Mai Pitura, so what does that mean? So then the Gemara goes on, launches into another discussion, which is Hitil Imutelet. that you're allowed to put kilayim on tzitzit even on a begim which already has tzitzit and you're putting more tzitzit on. And the Gemara says, Ava Amar Rabzera Chata Zimna Din Rabzera. He said that, you're right, Chata Mechalda Chaverta Edmar. So we derive it from the other one, fine. What I want to focus on is the central halacha that's being introduced here, which is the size of the beged. Now, okay, first tell me, what are the problems? What is ambiguous about this phrase? And if you forget what's ambiguous, I gave you some of the possibilities of what's ambiguous right at the top of the page. What is the problem? What is this? There's two questions we have to ask. Why is there such a standard? And what does it mean? So, in pshat, what is the... Tell me all the problems, because there are a lot of problems here, even in the simple read of the Gemara. What is the problem? Yes, Daniel.
What does it actually mean by a small child?
Good. So first, there's a question of what type of child are we talking about? And question two, or 1B, is, and why does that matter? Great. What's the next question? Yes, Daniel.
I mean, is that the only factor you have to look out for, or could it also...
Good. The Gemara introduces seemingly two factors. How are these related? Is there really only one factor, and in some way these are identical, and then you've got to tell me in what way are these identical? Or are these two different factors? And if it's two factors, why do you need both? And what do they even mean? Great. What else? You're like... So, if you see what I put there, the Gemara is talking about size. But is that the extent of the Gemara? Meaning, the Gemara gives a standard. In order for a beged to be chayav, it has to be the size with which a child would go out. But let's say it is the right size, but it's see-through. Right? Let's say it's huge. It's huge. It's a poncho. But it is see-through.
How would you be able to...
Plastic is a cool.
Fine.
Some kind of materials that are loosely woven that you can see through.
Sure, if you think that's chayiv. Or a very, very, very finely woven. The Gemara in Yoma has a discussion about this, which I think I put in the sources somewhere. Someone who had such fine clothing, like made of material, but it was so thin that it was basically see through. Right? Think tights. I think skin-colored tights. Okay?
Really disturbing.
Correct. So are you chayv and tzitzis in that, right? You have a whole beged, covers your whole body, and is basically see-through. Right? So if you think that the Gemara is saying, this is just a stand-in for size, then this is irrelevant. Maybe you're chayv in that. But if you think that no, the Gemara is talking about size, but the principle that it's introducing is, something is not considered clothing unless... it is that which a child would wear out, not embarrassed. An adult would go out, sometimes not embarrassed. Then something could be big enough, but see-through. Now, why is this halachically important? So the biggest question that comes up on this regard is mesh. Right? This is the shayla. Mesh tzitzis is the...
Meshy?
No, mesh. Mesh. Anyone wearing mesh tzitzis? Someone told me they had mesh tzitzis.
I own a pair.
Some kind of arrows.
Okay. Mesh is like, it looks like a net.
Yeah.
Oh, a net tzitzis.
Oh, yeah, it does. Net. Yeah, so the word is mesh. But yeah, that thing. So these are one of the relevant questions, which is, wait a second, the Gemara introduces the standard for size, but maybe it's also true of quality, of transparency, in which case, or maybe not. Another question post can say is, what does it mean, would go out in public? Would go out in public wearing only that, or... Would going out in public having that cover the part of the body that it's supposed to cover? Meaning, most people wouldn't go out in public with only wearing their shirt. But it's undeniably a piece of clothing. It's just that we standardly wear a shirt with pants. So does it mean that it has to be big enough that I would go out wearing that alone? Or does it mean that I would go out wearing that because it sufficiently covers the part of the body that it's supposed to cover?
Well, it's wearing regardless. Why is there the idea that it has to really be that?
What?
We know the idea is you have to wear it, but why is there a notion that you shouldn't wear anything else?
And that's what I just asked. That wasn't... You just took my question and assumed I answered it. And then...
Okay,
good. Now, what... Yeah, but Yosef already brings us to the question. Why do you think this even exists? Why does such a category exist... Why does such a category exist? Why do we say, well, if I wore a handkerchief, I'd also be chayev. Why don't we say that? What is the lumdus behind it? Right, it's the argument.
Handkerchief without the soup?
Yes, just the handkerchief. Bidiyuk. Why isn't that chayev? Why do you think? Why do you think?
I mean, it's not like a bigot.
Is it not a bigot? Okay, not that, a hat.
Oh.
Why not a hat? A four-cornered hat. A graduation hat. It has a tassel, so why don't you put four tassels? Why don't you have four tassels? Be very firm. Four tassels, white and blue, beautiful. Why do you have to do that? You don't have to do that. Why do you have to do that? Because what's the standard? Tell me, this is not so complicated. What is the standard? What is in the background? Yosef, what is in the background of the Gemara? Why does the Gemara assume that there must be an amount? And you should know the answer to this, because the Gemara uses a very particular word that should give it away.
Beged?
No, it doesn't use beged. It uses a different word. And that should be your hint. Ein ha-katan mit ka-se-bo. If a child would not cover himself with it, what is the Gemara doing? The Gemara is deriving this from where? The Pasuk. I gave it to you, number 2. You can look at number 2. Gidilim taseh lach al arbak kanfot kisutcha asher techaseba. Put it on the four corners of, it doesn't say beged, it says ksut, which means clothing, but it really means covering. That you cover yourself with. So therefore the Gemara knew that the type of beged that we're talking about is not anything which is a beged in any area of halacha. A glove is a beged for the purpose of tumah and tahara, because it is a functional piece of clothing. But tzitzis isn't about just beged, it's beged which is qualified by the standard of ksut.
It's a modified garment.
What?
It's a modified garment.
Meaning it's a subset, right? Yes, ksut, asher techasabab modifies beged. Meaning, it's not just clothing, it's clothing which covers. And that's why the Gemara knows that you're only chayev with clothing that you're going to cover it. And if it, again, I didn't give this to you, but now let's read inside. Look at Midrash Tanayim. Yeah.
That still doesn't really distinguish between something that covers your whole body versus just like a shirt.
Good. But we'll have to get to that. So just look at the source for a moment. Look at 3. So the Midrash Tanayim, right, so this is an earlier source than the Gemara, and this is Tanaitic material, says, Al arba kanfo ksutcha, shome'ani afal pi she'eno mechase roshe virubo. I might think that any clothing, even something that doesn't cover the majority of my body and my head, Talmud lomar asher techaseba, ksutchu mechase roshe virubo, amarti. It's a particular type of clothing, that which covers, and the assumption is covered your head and the majority of your body. Mikan amru, midada kideshit kaseba rosho virubo shel katan amalech b'shok levado, which is, by the way, where the Rambam gets it, because it's in Tanaitic material, not in our Gemara, but it's in the Tanaitic material. A child, and we'll have to come back to the standard, a child who is comfortable walking in the marketplace by himself, that is the child we're talking about. It doesn't need someone to watch over him, the amount that child would go out to cover him. Now, the Tartamima notes that this is Prat Lamoferet, he quotes from the Sifrei, Prat Lamoferet, Shein Mechaseba Rosh Chavarubcha. This excludes clothing, like, I don't know, a hat or something like that, which is clothing, a glove, I don't know. But this is a Moferet, happens to be a hat, not really a hat, a mitpachad, right?
Mitpachad's
You know, like what Israeli women used often to cover their hair, like it's perfectly square, right? It's a head scarf.
It's like a headband. It's like a sweatband almost.
No, it's a head scarf. It is a square, and then they wrap it around their head.
Oh, okay.
It is not a headband. It is. Yeah. If it was a headband, would it have four corners? No. The reason that this is relevant is because I'm talking about something which is four cornered, and that's why I said a, right?
Square.
I mean, bacha, those square things.
Square. Scarf.
What?
Why would you say scarf?
Because it's not a scarf.
It's not. It's a head scarf.
No, a scarf as well. Like, it has four corners.
That's great, but that's, I mean, that the same halacha applies. I mean, the word Moferet means a midbash.
Oh, okay, fine.
No, this is just the word. Right? That's what the Targum says. And fine, Moferet, who's too dar, shamat even bo'er arosh. It is a cloth which covers your head. It's a headscarf. If you, it's a bandana, okay? Happy? Bandana, right? It's a four-cornered thing that you wear on your head, men would wear, because I assume they're not wearing mitpachot, right? Okay. V'uvazet demerochayim siv yud, v'tahani shekotu tam mizeh mishum ziv ksutcha v'darshin v'lo ksut harosh. He said, what's weird to me is that in Shulchan Aruch, in Beit Yosef, the drasha is your covering, not your head cover. But he said, that's not the drasha. Ha-bisifrei darish zeh min asher techaseba v'gam kisutcha ba l'drasha achern v'relayel v'chen kasha l'meshka d'vav al-pi shemit kaseh v'roshu v'rubo ha-lo b'sifrei kam v'forash tam ha-ptur shen v'chaseh v'roshu v'rubo mashma m'furash em kaseh v'roshu v'rubo chaya v'pli ha-gdola. Right? It sounds like the real standard is head and body. And he said that's why he prefers the girsa that we have here in the Torah to me, that he quotes here in the Torah to me. That's why I didn't give you from the Sifrei. There's different versions in it. But that seems to be the basic standard. Okay? So what I want to do first, again, we're going to do this very carefully, is try to understand the basic positions in the Shonim. How do they understand both of these two factors? How are they connected? And conceptually, what lies behind them? Okay, so let's start with the Rambam. Who wants to take the Rambam? Thank you. You should look at your Rambam, but yes, if you ever forget to bring your Rambam, just here it is in the back of the Ein Mishpat. Amali, good. So let's read the Rambam.
So a piece of clothing that you have to have tzitzit d'oraita, it has four or more corners. V'tiyem yidata k'deshi kaseba rosho v'rubo shel katan hamitalech levado bashuk v'inotri achar shem revelen lechimo. And it has to be at least the size that it will cover the head and most of the body of a child who can go out independently into the shuk and doesn't need someone else watching over him. And it has to be either wool or linen only.
Good. What strikes you about the Rambam right off the bat?
He uses the word apostle.
I mean, he does. But there's something shocking in the Rambam. Nachum, what does the Rambam do that is surprising?
That's a good question.
It is. What's the answer?
Gavi,
what's the answer? What does he do?
He throws out...
Yes, very good. He throws out half the Gemara. He does not quote the second factor at all. He just says, what is the size? The size is that which a child who walks alone in the shuk without someone watching him would wear that clothing and it would cover the majority of his head and the majority of his body. And he does not bring in the question of adult at all. At all. Okay. Why? Why does the Rambam ignore the second factor in the Gemara entirely?
Because he thinks there's...
Good. The easiest way is because he thinks they are identical. That they are identical. Good. Then what is the standard for the Rambam? Why? In what sense are they identical? Let's think about it logically, right? What would it mean for them to be identical?
Well, if it was something that was like so small that the kid couldn't fit in it, then like you would obviously be embarrassed about it in public with it. So like, it's one of the same.
Right, but what is the real standard for the Rambam? Right, the Rambam says that the second factor is really, let's assimilate it into the first. So good. So what is the logic behind the following statement? Let me rephrase the question. Why would it be that an adult male is obligated to wear tzitzis if the clothing he's wearing is big enough that a child could wear it and cover his body? Why would that be the standard for tzitzit? What is the logic behind conceptualizing that as the standard?
Maybe some people don't really have a sense of shame. So, like, even if like it's a really small garment, they'll still be like, I don't know.
Right, but remember, the Rambam folk ignores that second factor and assumes it's identical. So what?
I'm saying he's putting more significance on the first thing
Good. Why? But what? Right, why? Why should it be the case that the standard is what would a? How old do we think this kid is?
Nine.
Fine. Nine, 10, 8. I don't know. Depends what country you live in, yeah. Right?
In this country, 5.
In this country, if you live in Yishuv, 3. If you live in a cloistered from neighborhood in a bigger city, 8. Right? If you live in Tel Aviv, 15. If you live in New York, 25. I don't know. Right? 5.
Depends on the
Tashbah. I don't know. 16.
I was 11 when I started going to New York.
There you go. Okay, good. But what's the? Come on. What's the logic?
I would say the thing with the child is more quantitative versus like the like embarrassment thing is more of like a.
Okay. Good. So according to Rambam, it's not really about embarrassment, right? What is it about? I think for the Rambam, how would you simplify it? What is the Rambam really saying? Why is it that the standard for an adult is that which a kid would wear? Why? What does that tell you? What does the Rambam think this shear is?
The size that will cover a person.
Meaning
and push it. A child is just a small person.
Good. Right. The Rambam is saying, what is the amount here? The goal here is not, would you wear it outside? Would you not wear it outside? That's not really the relevant question. The relevant question is, is this garment halachically a garment? How do you determine that? You take a child where we start viewing him as a little person, right? Or as a young adult, let's say. Right? That's really what the Rambam is saying. At which point someone is a young adult? I mean, he's still a child, but he could go out by himself. That's when we start to think of them as a young adult, and therefore the clothes that they wear are clothes. Or to give it, I think what the Rambam is saying is like this. If I asked you, okay, find me normal clothes, and you go to a department store, if you're still looking in the kids section, that's not clothing, right? That's like, it's kids clothing, but it's kids clothing, right? That's not like, that's kids clothing. Once your kid hits, fourth grade, and he can start wearing sizes, right? There's numbers. It's not small. It's not kid. It's, he's in the numbers. It's pant size, whatever, right? That's when it's small clothing, but that's when we've moved into the world of real clothing. Because like babies, right? Like newborns, you really have no idea. Like, if someone told you that this is newborn clothing and it was from a doll, you would not know the difference. Right? You just wouldn't. They're often the same size. So yes, they are human beings. But we haven't yet conceptualized this as clothing. Once a kid is out of the kids' department, essentially, and he's not an adult yet. No one's saying he is an adult. But he can wear
big clothes.
A extra small adult, right? Extra small adult. He can start wearing things with numbers, right? You start getting him shirts that care about length and color size, right? Now the color size may be 10 and the length may be 20. I don't know if they sell that. I don't think they do. I think it's like beyond. I think smaller than 14 they no longer measure, right? 14 and 14 and a half and like by 32 usually. Which is my problem, because the smallest they usually sell is 32. Good luck. 32 is like that here on me. Okay. But whatever. But I think that's what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam is saying, what is the conceptual model here? What counts as something that a normal, regular adult would at least count as clothing? What is that? And where does the Rambam... What does the Rambam think? I mean, he gets the shear from the Sifrei. But why does the Rambam think that the way we judge it is a kid who will go out in public by himself? Because he's saying...
Is that like the minimum distinguishable amount of a person?
Yeah, I mean, not a person, an adult. It's when we would start looking at a kid as a young adult. Right?
Why then?
Because that's when his clothes are in the world of adult clothing. Right? And, think about... Now, how would the Rambam go back to the Gemara? I think the Rambam reads it like this. If a kid, a small kid, a young adult, 9, 10, who can just start wearing extra small, would go out in that clothing, it's in the world of adult clothing. How do you understand the second shear on the Gemara? Well, think about it. This may not be what you want to wear. Let's say there was a fire, right? God forbid. Right? You had to run out of the house. You're not even going to bother trying to stuff yourself into your infant's clothing, because what is that going to do? But if your little kid's, you know, shirt is lying there, and, you know, you can get it around your body, and it will, like, somewhat, you can't close it, right? Maybe, whatever, but it'll cover some of your body, and you have to run out because there's a fire. You have to run out for a minute, right? You'll put it on. You might not like putting it on. It might not fully clothe you, but you the fact that an adult would at least bother putting it on shows you that it's in the world of adult clothing. Again, would he wear this every day? No, because it doesn't cover his body, right? It's, you know, it's like when you, it's when you start growing out of clothing, right? There's the state at which it feels a little bit tight, and then there's the point at which it doesn't cover your whole body because the buttons won't close, so, like, you know, if you're not wearing an undershirt, so, like, the lower half of your abdomen will start showing on the shirt. But, like, if there was a fire and that was the only thing I had, I'd put it on and it'd be better than nothing, as opposed to my infant's child, which is not better than nothing. It literally doesn't matter. Right? It doesn't do a darn thing for me. I can't even get my hand through it. So the Rambam is saying, what is required that tzitzis? Something which, objectively speaking, is adult clothing. What is, objectively speaking, adult clothing? Something that not a toddler, but a kid who is, you know, a young adult, maybe a very young adult, approaching adulthood. He's old enough that he'll go outside by himself, which means that he's someone who people look at him and say, yeah, you're a child, but, you know, you're not a toddler. You're not an infant. You're a real person. You know, people start saying that about, like, 6-year-olds, right? They're a real person. They have opinions, right? They're childish opinions, but they have opinions. They have arguments. Those arguments are not necessarily compelling arguments, but they're beginning to reason, right? They're beginning to formulate thoughts. So you view them as a little mensch. At that age, what they wear is at least, you view it as clothing, as real people clothing. But the Rambam says that's the real shear. When the Gemara has its second standard, which is an adult would wear it in public, that's like, yeah, because when something is clothing, if I needed to, I would, you know, throw on whatever was around, and that would count as around. But the same way, as opposed to an infant's clothes, we're just like, I wouldn't bother saying, oh, I have no clothes, I need to run out in a fire, let me put on a napkin, right? You just wouldn't do it. Like, what are you doing? Right? That didn't help you.
I mean, Kalev's case, you ran.
I don't need that on recording, thank you.
I will stop that. We know Kalev's.
And for the record, a towel, obviously, in that sense, is big enough. That's why someone would run out and think about it. Right? It's just that it's not a baguette.
You're right. Oh,
but if you were wearing a towel, if you decided to wear a towel, so obviously be chayev. Think about it. Obviously.
And there was a lack of
but not a hand towel. Not a hand towel. Okay. That's, I think conceptually, that's where the Rambam comes from. Good. Nemuke Yosef. Now that you found him, okay, so what does he say?
I mean, by a short time, the books, the law of the two, means ever rush over the law of private, it's not very bad.
Okay, good. So what does the Mukha Yosef say? What type of kid are we talking about?
Like, if you'd be embarrassed to go out in public without clothing.
Good. So here, listen to this. This is a very fascinating argument. What does the Mukha Yosef say? What type of kid are we talking about? The Rambam says, what we're looking for is adult clothing. So what type of kid are we looking for? A kid who has certain independence and look, we start viewing as a young adult. The Nemoke Yosef, because what motivates the Rambam? He's thinking, what is a beged? Right? What is a kisui? What is it? Nemoke Yosef say? No. You know what type of kid we're talking about? A kid who's old enough that he would be embarrassed to go outside without clothing. The clothing he would wear that would fit, that would make him not embarrassed is the clothing we're talking about. Because how does he conceptualize this? The Rambam says we're looking for adult clothing, and therefore the shear is a kid who is somewhat in the parsha of adulthood. But the Mukhe Yosef says, no. What's the shear? What makes something a ksut? That which removes the embarrassment of nakedness. But how do you know what clothing removes the embarrassment of nakedness? You find the youngest human being who
has a sense of shame
and therefore requires clothing, and the clothes that he will wear and will remove his shame, that makes it a ksud, because it covers he who cares to be covered. Right? That's the Mukhei Yosef's argument. Right? It's a very short point, but it's a very sharp way of conceptualizing this. Now, does he quote both standards?
No.
Also not. Right, which indicates again that probably, like the Rambam, he thinks the real question here is defining a beged. Though for the Rambam, it seems to be an adult beged. For the Mukhei Yosef, it seems to be the minimum size of a beged that would remove shame, and that's the definition of clothing. Okay, look at the smag in number 9. Sefer Mitzvah Gadol. Tanya. Talit. Now, by the way, so for the Rambam and the Mukhei Yosef, there seems to really be one standard. And that is, for the Rambam, adult clothing. And both of these factors help us understand what is adult clothing. It's clothes that a young adult would wear, or that because a young adult would wear it, so an adult would wear it under extreme circumstances, if he needed to. Temporarily. The Mukhei Yosef is, the definition for the purpose of tzitzis, of clothing, is that which removes shame. And therefore, how do I figure out that which removes shame? I say, how young of a child starts to feel shame without clothing? That clothing, the clothing that will remove his shame, that proves it is a kisui. Right? It is mitkasebo, because he who cares to be covered, if he'll cover it, that makes it clothing. But again, that's only one standard. These aren't two factors. These are two ways of indicating the same point. Smak. Tanya. Talit shakatan mitkasebo rosho virubo. Vagadol yoseba arai. Chayevet betzitzit. A talit that a katan would cover his head and his body, most of his body with, and an adult would go out once in a while, is chayev. Eina katan mitkaseba rosho virubo, aval pisha gadol yotseba arai, ptura. If a child would not go out with it, even if an adult would wear it under extenuating circumstances, you're still exempt. Who does this sound like? The Rambam. Right? Meaning he's saying the second one is just a helpful way of clarifying. But the real shear is only, what would a child, a young adult, wear? And even if you could find something that an adult would wear but a kid wouldn't.
Yeah, but that he uses the same lashon as the Gemara.
No, but that second point that I'm picking up on, where he says, Eina katan mitkaseba roshov rubo, if a child wouldn't wear it outside, af al pi shagadol yotseba arai. Even if adults.
The Gemara says that also, does it not?
No. Oh, you're right. I take that back. Perush Rabbeinu Moshe, Shem Midaber B'Katan Sheyotzei L'Shuk B'Talit Zeh. By the way, you're right. That seems to be where the Rambam gets this notion, right? That where does the Rambam get the notion that there's really only one standard is the fact that the second one doesn't really matter. Then he says, the Rambam writes, "Shemidaber b'katan sheyotzei l'shuk b'talit zeh v'holech levado v'enatzerch acher l'shomro." I know he passed like the Rambam because that's his next line, right? And Tani was so perkul levagazul katan sheyotzei l'tatei b'tzitzit chayav b'tzitzit. But he adds one more line, and he says, and it seems to be what he's doing. He said, "Let me prove this to you." The Gemara says, "At what age does a child become chayav and tzitzit from chinuch?"
When he knows how to.
And he seems to be saying, well, these are conceptually linked. Meaning, at the age at which he starts wrapping himself, meaning he starts wearing things, that's when he's that's the right age, because that's the whole conceptualization of this. Okay. What does the Torah say? So the Torah says in 10, Shi'ur talit la chayev betzitzit kol shekatan ben teisha shanim yachol lasot barosho virubo. V'gadol eino mitbayesh latzei ba'akrai l'shuk. Aval eina katan mitkaseh ba'roshov v'ubav v'shigadol yotzei ba'akrai l'shuk patur. The Torah says, you know what we mean here?
A 9-year-old.
A 9-year-old. Why the heck would you say a 9-year-old? Why would you say a 9-year-old? So far, we have two models. We have the Rambam who says it's adult clothing. Therefore, what's the standard? Someone who would go out with independence. That's a young adult. Mukha Yosef says the standard is that which removes shame. That's what the clothing means. And therefore, the standard is a child at the right age, where he feels shame. Why would you say a 9-year-old?
Because that kind of covers both categories.
It's when both connect.
So you could say that maybe he just thinks that 9 is the average age of one of these two things, where kids won't go out naked or where they will go out with independence, right? He lived in a place where a 9-year-old went out independently. Or...
And 7-year-olds were naked.
What? This is unlikely to me. Uh-huh. It's unlikely to me to be the case. I said it's a theoretical possibility. Right. I can't prove to you that that's not what he said. But where do we know 9 from? So 9 is, in several areas of halacha, is a formal point at which a katan begins to be somewhat adult-like. So, for example, a nine-year-old boy, if he has intercourse with one of the arayot, he's obviously a child, so he can't be punished, but it counts as intercourse, and therefore the woman, assuming she did it on purpose, could be punished.
It sounds like rape. Of the 9-year-old.
That the woman is raping the 9-year-old.
Yes,
in the Hanami. But the woman would be chayav. Younger than that, we assume that act, it may be sexual abuse, but it's not technically rape because that the child is incapable of performing the sex act in a halakhically significant way. So 9 is an objective standard of...
No, this you're okay getting a recording. That's fine.
Yes, this I'm okay with getting a recording because... It's a Gemara.
Yeah.
It's also rather.
Oh, I understand.
What? So it could be that he's looking for a formal standard, right? Not a embarrassment standard. He's saying a 9-year-old is the youngest where which we start considering someone an adult, formally speaking. Maybe that's what he's getting at. I don't know 100%. But let's try to flesh it out with 11 and 12 here. Okay. So the Kesef Ish is Atur Katav. So the Kesef Mishnah says that the Tur says a 9-year-old. He says, this doesn't sound like the Rambam. Because, you know, the Kesef Mishnah lived on Yishuv. He said, 9. You need to wait to 9. By the way, I think in Israel, legally, you're allowed to let your kid cross the street without an adult at 8. I think.
Is a legal thing for that?
Yes. That doesn't mean that in Yeshuvim they don't let 3-year-olds cross the street by themselves. But I was like, legally speaking, I think it's 8.
All of Beit Shemesh where you just see 2-year-olds.
That's not a Yeshuv. And that scares me a little bit.
Fraud,
what?
It's like really not safe outside of Frog.
What do you mean it's not safe?
Like the roads.
They're not going outside.
Like, there are like a lot of like casualties like on the corner. Like there's like a corner they recently put up a light or something that people are getting killed at.
That's a 15-minute drive for me. It's out the yeshiva on the other side. It's someone at Gush, yeah, it's a very bad intersection. In many ways. It has a lot of accidents and it's had its fair share of terrorist attacks also. Yeah. What?
There's really good bakery, right?
There are a lot of things. Which one? The English cake is there.
Yeah.
It's okay, bakery. There are better bakeries in the area. Papa Melech is much better. Like, I mean, English cake is just like a chain. Papa Melech is like a, you know, a... Not a chain. It's very good.
That's in Ephrat.
What?
This is great bakery in upstate New York.
There are great bakers in a lot of places.
Which one?
I don't know.
What?
I don't think it has a name. It's like super high.
You know, Hamish Bakery actually became kosher. The not kosher Hamish Bakery that was sitting on Bathurst for like years. Actually, apparently.
So funny. Yeah, it's like down the
block. I don't know. That's what I heard. That actually finally became kosher after like years of confusing people with eating trade. Anyways, not important. Really not important. Okay, guys. The Eshar. So he says, this seems to be not like the Rambam. He says, "V'efshar shadur meparish tahachi kamar rabbi kamar rabbeinu katan mitalech b'shuk im talit tovin acharach achar l'shem rosh lo yovar talit k'dimashu b'divrei asmag." Said maybe for the tour, the age is not just someone who would walk alone, but walk alone and wouldn't lose his clothes.
What?
We're not talking about a shirt. We're talking like a cloak, right? A cape.
Why would he lose his cloak?
Because little kids lose their clothing all the time. You know how many kippot you lose when you have little kids, right? It's if I don't watch my kids for 3 seconds when they're outside, but I don't know where my kippot went, and like I'll find it like a week later because it's like
kippot's go either. To be honest, that's why we're
So you're not a raya for anything, but David, that's great. Now this is an interesting model. What does the Kesef Mishnah think for the Torah thinks? It has to be a child old enough that he can be responsible for his clothing. It's an interesting suggestion, right? That what counts as a clothing? The clothes that a kid would wear that... Meaning, what's he saying? He's saying, look, independence isn't determined by external factors, like adulthood. It's determined by independence for the purpose of clothing. I mean, if you can wash your own clothing, then your clothing is significant enough because you wear it independently. A little kid, you know, when a kid is still at the age where every time he wants to get dressed, it's, Ima, is this what I should be wearing? Does this match? Right? Is this on backwards? Is this on the right foot? Right? That age, right? The kid is not independently responsible for his clothing, so his clothing doesn't count halachically. But the Kesef Mishnah says, at which point a kid is responsible for their clothing, right? In modern terms, I would say, not that he would lose it, but like, at which point a kid can get dressed by himself, doesn't have to ask whether it matches. I guess many adults, especially men, will continue to ask whether it matches, but, you know, have a vague notion that they are wearing clothing that are normal, right? They know that their pants are on the right way. They know that their buttons are in the right holes, yeah, right? That age...
Even that, that's still difficult.
Okay, for most people, in a chenami, but I think that's what the Kesef Mishnah is saying, right? The Kesef Mishnah is saying, what he thinks is that, how do you determine whether something is adult clothing? Whether the person wearing them is basically independent, can get dressed independently. Right? That's the standard, which he assumes is... This is how he understands the Torah. Well,
it could be different. Like, you know, the mom would put out the clothes, but the kid can put it on.
Yes, but I'm trying to give you... I'm trying...
Would that be considered...
No, he says it's the age at which they won't lose their clothing just by walking outside.
Oh, okay.
But I'm giving a modern spin on it because most of them, if you're wearing a shirt, it's very hard. Your shirt's not coming off.
Right.
Like, what are you wearing that it just falls off?
Okay.
It's your kippah. Right? It's not like these, it's not like a trick, it's not trick clothing.
Again,
right? It looks like a shirt, but if you turn the wrong way, it will fall off. Like, right?
If you're in Israel where the kids are fighting, like, they always play rough and all that, they do stuff.
Oh, all the kids in the States are
perfect. Okay. Even when kids, I don't know how rough you played, but usually when people are playing rough, they don't lose their pants and forget to bring them home. That's like, that's usually not rough, that's usually really, if that's happening and they say it was because they were playing rough, don't believe them. Something inappropriate was happening and find out what happened, okay? Right? As opposed to little kids, where this really might happen, they were like, I went to the park and I needed to use the bathroom, so I went in the bushes and I forgot to put my pants back on. Right? That really could happen. Right? For a little kid. I mean, it shouldn't, but it really could.
You'll see kids here all the time. Kids are playing rough and they pull their shirt off by accident.
And then leave it there?
Yeah. You know how many shirts I've hanging in?
What? And they walk home in the winter and don't realize they're not wearing clothing?
Maybe not in the winter, but in the sun. Like,
and I'm not talking about someone who just doesn't care about wearing shirts. But this gets complicated in a world where, like, everyone thinks it's appropriate to wear to play basketball, right, in public without a shirt, right? I'm not talking about this weird culture we live in, okay?
Today's a different culture.
Yes. So he says, Umitoch, now the Kesef Mishnah continues, and he says, Umitoch divrei Rabbeinu, from the Rambam, Shehi Shmit Gadol Yotzei Baderech Harai, that left out the adult standard, Nilmod Shemash Amr Bebraita, you see, the Rambam thinks the only real rule is what would a child wear? Now, if you look at the Beit Yosef in 12, the Beit Yosef summarizes the positions that we have, and he says as follows. Uvenimukei Yosef, Katuv, Talitcha Katana Mitmayesh Latzeit Lachut Belokzut Mitkasef Roshov Berubo Chayevet Dikzuto Karin and Bay. If a child would be embarrassed to go without clothing and he wears it, so that is the child we're talking about. Haramam Katav Beperikim Ovetiyam Midata Kideshit Kasef Roshov Berubo Shal Katana Mitalech Levado Beshuk Minetzarecha Chelishom Rav Lechimo. And the Ravid agreed, because he said, yeah, it's not every kid, it's a kid who can walk independently. Right? 9 sounds like not the Rambam, because an 8-year-old could go in the shuk by himself and doesn't need to be 9. And that's the way I understand the smog as well. But those are the three positions we just saw. Katu barchodat chayim. So now he clarifies a little bit more. He says, we mean width and length. Right? That should have been clear to you. Right? Meaning, not something this long a kid will go out with, but it's a ribbon. Right? We mean, actually, a kid will wear this. Right? Width and length. Now, he quotes the Maariv. Now, all these shitot, the first three shitot that we've seen, in different ways, seem to think that how many factors are there really in defining whether something is clothing, adult clothing, clothing that removes shame? 1. The real rule is we determine it by a child. Because that's at which point it is qualified as clothing of the various sorts that we've talked about. Again, adult clothing, that which someone would remove shame, that which someone who dresses himself independently, essentially, would wear. But there's only really one rule. But not everyone agrees. He says, "Katav Rabbeinu Agadol Mari Abu Avzal." The Mari Abu Av writes, "Daha diktani shagadol yotzei ba'arai perushe kamefarish." That which we said that an adult would go out once in a while is an explanation. Shezeh haksud chayav mipnei shagadol yotzei ba'arai. So the first three positions, all of them think that what's the real standard? Kid. What did the Mari Abu Av say? Punkt verkehrt, right? The exact opposite.
I love that.
Right? Which is what? He says, no, you got it wrong. Why are you judging how to define clothes by a kid? How should you define clothing? By an adult. And therefore, he says, the real rule is, what would an adult wear, at least on a non-regular basis, and it would count as clothes? Because what do we want? Mamish adult clothing. So what's this kid thing? So remember, Hakira, the one Brisker Lumdus term I like using all the time, which is siman versus siba, right? Is this cause or correlation or indication? So what does he say? The real rule is the siba, right? The real rule is what would an adult wear? On a non-regular basis. How do you know what an adult would wear on a non-regular basis? The siman is that a kid would wear it on a regular basis. Right? So he flips it and he says, the first three shitot we've seen, the real rule is that which is objectively considered clothing, which means a kid of various sorts would wear it in public. He flips it, he says, Mapito, if what needs sitzes is adult clothing, then the real rule must be that which an adult would wear, at least on a non-regular basis. Why do I care about what a kid would do? That tells us what an adult would probably wear under extenuating circumstances. And he says, what's his rationale? Why is he compelled to say this? Because kids don't have to wear tzitzis. They are ketanim. Now, everyone else is going to respond, that's not the issue. The issue here isn't who is chayav in tzitzis. The issue is what counts as clothing. But the Mari Abu Av, what's his chiddush? That what counts as clothing for the purpose of tzitzis? That which someone who's chayav in tzitzis would wear. Meaning there is no objective standard of clothing that is machayiv tzitzis. The standard is tied up with the person who would wear it. Yep. A person who has to wear tzitzis, the clothes that he would wear are the type of clothes that are chayiv tzitzis. And the only thing a kid can tell us is what type of thing would that adult wear on a non-regular basis? Now this is very strange, right? This is very strange. It doesn't seem to be what the Gemara is saying, but this is the Mari Abu Av, right? Who totally flips it. And he says, "V'kein katav Ari ibn Chaviv, v'katav od v'zel l'shanot she'izkir v'gadol yotzei b'reisha debrayta k'dei laskiro b'seifa v'yomar avo b'she gadol yotzei b'ash im lo yomar gadol yotzei klal rak she'iflad davar b'katan yacholet kasore makom lachshav shavo b'she loy kasav b'katan yichayev im agadol yotzei b'akray al kein izkiro b'rishona l'deinu ki lo olam l'chayev at she'ei ra'uy l'ksot katan." But the Ari ibn Chaviv says, right, no, it has to, the reason you put the katan first is because it has to be something that katan would wear. Achashu katati ze, yan lashon brayta v'yashav ra'iti ki lefi amet, ein lanu tzorach me'ela ha'pil pulim, ki lo nemar balashon ze shir talit, l'chai b'tzir, el atan rabanan talit, she katan b'tzeb ha'roshu b'rubo, ha'kavana amitit, lazor ha'brayta la'orot, ma'yasa gadol, ha'yotzei ba'akrai b'talit ktana. He said, and this is how you read the Gemara according to that shita, which is, how big of a clothing that an adult would go out on a non-regular basis, right? What is that? That's how we read the Brisa. That the first step is just teaching you what is that a katan would really go out. Oloba, marshim, derechem, dan lechasob, roshob, rubos, and chayev gadol, sheyetzu v'akray, avo ma'ina katan v'katzeba, v'yetzu v'gadol v'akray, p'tura v'cholot zeit, b'lo tzitzit, v'ray mukhrach al zeh perish milo, katzarti, etc. And that's how he understands this. So you have three shitot that think that the standard is various katanim, because they seem to think that what is chayev and tzitzit is clothing. And clothing is either adult clothing, meaning clothing of people who have shame and therefore require something to cover them, clothing that can be taken care of by the people wearing them. But then you have the Maria Bua who flips it and says, no, the way we define beged for the purpose of tzitzis is that which those people who are actually chayiv in tzitzis would wear. If you just turn back for a moment to the Karen Ora, he's much later, but he is quite clear in how he reads it. And he says, "Kol shekatan b'kaseba roshov v'rubov v'gadol yotzei ba'arai." Yered elav tarti kamar. These are not two standards. Sheyeh b'talit k'dei shekaseba roshov shokatan v'ot tanai acher shelech ha'gadol ba'arai. These aren't two different standards, adult and child. Uchavayu ma'akvei. V'negadol yolech ba'arai patura v'filayim v'gadol yotzei shokatan, etc. And he just summarizes. He says because the pachot mehashir lav levisha elamash with the kulei chachir. So the standard here is what counts as wearing, and it's all one size. And yesh boshir lekatan shkad vezeroshuvov, yesh boshir legadol gamkin. Let's say b'arai. It was the type of thing that a kid would wear always, an adult sometimes. Kevan de gadol derech. Let's say b'arai chayv etzitzit. It's clothing, and therefore it's chayav al ein b'ashir ein darko shugadol, etc. Okay. Now I gave you. Now everyone tries to figure this out. If you look at the Prisha in 13, he challenges the Rambam, and he says, "Let me just get you the key line." Okay, so he actually thinks the Rama might be the same as the Torah, right? That it might be 9. Okay, let's skip the Prisha for now. Now the Bach just notes that he doesn't understand the Mari Abuav and the Marim Chaviv. Because he says, what are you talking about? Right? It's not two factors, and the adult factor is not the real factor. It's the child factor, right? It sounds like the Mari Abuav really thinks either the real standard is adult, or that there are two factors, and the Bach says, Mapidom, there are two factors. Now, what would be the logic if you wanted to say it's two factors? Right? The way the Bach understands the Mari Abuav is that there are two factors. It needs to be both. Not that these shed light on each other, but these are two factors. But why would you say that? So the logic, I think, would be it needs to be both objectively clothing. How do you define as objectively clothing? A kid would wear it. And it has to be something that covers you. And how do you know that it covers you? An adult would wear it at least sometimes. And therefore, you have the two factors. And that's why the Gemara does it. But again, the simplest shot, as we've seen...
That, or
Because the majority of Rishonim don't believe that that's what it is, right? But I think, if, and again, the Bach notes that this doesn't seem to be the simple pshat, but he suggests that that's what the Maria Buav wants. That really there are two standards. Now, he also notes that it's not necessarily nine. He thinks that the Rambam's shear might be six or seven, right? He's not really clear. Okay. According to all of these shitot, what do you think? Is a talit katan chayev in tzitzis mid de'oraisa? Yes. Right. Thank you.
No.
A big enough talit katan. A big enough talit katan.
You know, for practice, but not is not chayev.
No. No. According to all of these positions, is my talit, right, my talit katan, which will cover my child's whole body, and if I had no other shirt and there was a fire, I would throw on my tzitzis, because at least it'll, I think, let me put it very easily, right? Take a 9-year-old kid and take tzitzis the size of an adult tzitzis, right?
Yeah, I understand.
Would the kid wear it? Would it cover most of him?
Yeah.
Yes. If there was a fire and you had no shirt and the only thing you had was your tzitzis, would you wear that because it would benefit you? It would cover your body and you would feel less embarrassed going in public with your tzitzis? Or if you needed to run out for a second, let's say into your backyard, someone probably not going to see you. And yeah, they might see part of your, you know, your stomach. But you know, you're basically covered because your tzitzis goes down to the bottom of your abdomen. Would you wear it outside for a second?
Yeah.
Right? I'm going outside, you know, I'm... Whatever, it's like, for me, what's the standard? It's like, right, I wouldn't necessarily go outside in, like, you know, old shorts and an undershirt, right? I wouldn't do that, that's not what I do, right? But like, when I'm sponging my house, sponge and I'm just, what?
What'd you say?
Sponge.
What's that?
Sponge is the Israeli way of mopping, you know, that mop thing where you just pour water on the floor and then squeegee it out. In Hebrew, it's sponge. Right? So if I open my front door, because so, often the easiest way to do it is just to sponge it out the front door. So I'll open my front door, and probably no one's going to be at my front door, but maybe someone will see me for a second, right? If I happen to just be wearing my tzitzis and shorts, right? And I'm just opening my door just to sponge it out, and maybe someone for a second will be there, right? I don't know if I would actually do this, but he's saying, the standard is, would you be embarrassed if someone happened to be at your front door or see you at your front door wearing, you know, just your tzitzis and shorts? If the answer is, I mean, I don't know if I would be thrilled, but I wouldn't be humiliated the way is, you know, I would be if I open the door as I'm coming out of the shower and I have a towel on, right? So the answer is, that is chayev. Because according to all of these shitot, according to all of these shitot, do you need, are you chayev midaraisa in a beged that you wouldn't wear as your full clothing, but a kid would wear and you would wear under non-extenuating circumstances? According to all these shitot, is it defined as a beged?
Yes.
Yes. So is it chayev midaraisa?
No.
Yes! Why do you keep saying no? Who? Where have we yet seen a position who would say you're not chayev midaraisa? We haven't. And therefore, are your tzitzis chayv midaraisa?
Yes.
Yes, according to the Rambam, according to the Torah, according
assuming,
to the...
Assuming it's the right material and everything.
Yeah, according to the right material, etc. Okay. However, there is a tradition that this is not the case. There is a tradition that said, and this is in the Mordechai, it's a little bit clear. Well, you know, I should have put the Mordechai in. I think I might have put it later on. But, okay, turn for a second to Mordechai. We'll finish with this for now. And then we'll pick up with this next time. All right, I don't have it. This one. Right, tough. It's tough. One second. Tough. What? Tough Kufman. Bays? Tough Kufman, maybe? Yeah.
Like here is in Romania.
What?
I was here.
That's awesome. Okay. Tough Kufman. Bays? Tough Kufman. Bays?
Oh.
Here we go. Talk of Kuf Mem Beis. Then he says, I think this is the right letter. I hope it's the right letter. And he says, nope, sorry, Tuf Kuf Mem Gimel.
Where's the Gimel? Is that right after the Gimel?
No.
After the right. Maybe it's in a different letter. I thought that's where it was.
No. Yes, it is the fourth.
You know what? Let me see, what did I put here? Did I put the wrong source sheet? You know what? I'll say it outside. Maybe we'll do it afterwards, okay? Oh, no, here. Yeah, no, it was right. Tuf Kuf Mem Gimel. Okay, so here, I'll read it to you. Kasaf Rabbeinu Shimshon. Amarli Rebbe B'Shem Ratz. The Ozam Talitoch Osin Ba'ashkenaz. Behem Kimin Malbosh Yeshlem Beit Sabar V'Chetzol Lefanav V'Chetzol Acharav. Those Talitot Katan that they make in Ashkenaz that have a neck hole, and then half of it goes in front of you and half of you goes in back of you. Okay? Kaplaria, like some sort of apron. This is not the best. Because you don't really cover yourself in it. Right, it sounds like it needs to be at least with a cover. What's the proof? Because the bracha is litatef. We say the bracha to wrap yourself. So what does he say? Now it's not clear what he's talking about. It's not clear how small these are. But some people, it might be that what the Mordechai is saying is that is a talit katan chayv midaraisa or fully. I don't know if he means midarabanan or not fully.
No.
Why? Because maybe, and this is something we haven't seen yet, that maybe all of this is like a minimal thing, which is it's a beged. But what, according to him, is the real mitzvah? Yes, a beged shemitatef bo, and therefore our tzitzit are not either chayv midaraisa or not mitzvah min hamuvchar. And the Rama says that that what chumrah emerged from this position. That what is the? Do you remember what bracha do you make on a talis? Litatef. What bracha do you make on a talit katan? Amitzvah tzitzit. Why? So the Ramah suggests. Well, according to Mordechai, maybe we don't paskin that those are chayiv really midaraisa, and therefore this is not the real mitzvah. So you say amitzvah tzitzit because you're thanking God for tzitzis in general, but what you're wearing is basically is either nothing or not
but
the full one.
What if you don't wear a talis?
That's why you make a mitzvah. If you wear a talis, you don't make a bracha on the talis katan. You make a bracha on both. What?
You're not doing the mitzvah then.
Oh, good. But now tell me, is that the majority position he's shown him?
No.
No, not at all. Now, it's not clear, according to the Mordechai, whether you're actually not yotzei at all. He says, "Eino mitzvah min hamuvchar," right? Which might mean that he thinks that there's two levels. That you're chayev once it's mechaseh, and it's ideal once it's mitatev. But if you look quickly, you know, we'll do one more source. Look at 15. You know, Elif Lecha Shlomo, Shlomo Kluger quotes this tradition, and he writes, "Kama have a sheer talit shakatan mekasev arosho v'rubo." So, how much is this size? And he goes through the different amounts. Okay. And he says.
40, 80, 83. Mem Aleph, Mem Aleph.
Well, okay, so he says like this. So then he quotes there are different amounts. Is it 3/4 of an amma? Is it that right? 3/4 by half? or is an ama by an ama? Hinei bazeh biyadi lachriya kame v'shirach ladati near the ama lama vaday die. So I don't know exactly how much, but probably an ama by an ama is fine. Ki av lefi dada nukayos jevi machzeh shekav akaz of Rashi maskim lezeh muchach the ama lama patur near the chayven that shazlon don v'shir ba'ama rakshi akadam nekaseh barosho v'rubo. Since the Gemara doesn't say exactly how big it is, it gives you a kid size. Mavaday kavana bekatan benoni. We're talking about an average size child. Then came bedarot alojin hadu adarot. People are not as tall. Not true. They were obviously taller in his time, but okay. Harbeim yamim rishnim ma'ayin v'chayotze b'mitzlach l'nin shir t'zayit v'chein al-chanami b'zayit b'ktanim didan. I don't think this is true, but he says our kids are smaller than they were. V'aday heve amal amashir shakata m'kasev roshav rubo. Befrad b'mashalanu v'aday ayaday b'zay. Umad l'pligi yaboskim b'inan shia gadol inon bit b'yishba. And that which you have the machloket about whether adults need to go out without embarrassment. That's not true in our generation. Then they used to go out with these types of clothing. He said, in the time of the Gemara, you're talking about people's actual clothing. But nowadays, you don't wear it as your actual clothing. Sorry, this is not the sheet I think I put here. This is a different position that I put here. Yelv Lashomo is the following chiddush, and he says, in the time of Gemara, it really mattered whether you were embarrassed or not to wear it. You know why? Because this was the type of clothing that you would actually wear. And if it's the type of clothing you would actually wear, how do you figure out whether it's clothing? By figuring out whether you'd be embarrassed to wear it outside. How many of you would be embarrassed to wear your talit katan outside? Most of you. He said, but that's not because it's not a beged. You know why that is? Because that's not the type of clothing we wear. We wear shirts. Right? We wear shirts. And therefore, it's no longer the case that you can use the gauge of how embarrassed would an adult be, because the reason you'd be embarrassed is not because it's not a clothing, it's not because it doesn't cover a kid, it's because you don't wear this type of clothing. But the real standard is only, is it considered a beged? But, as I said, there's this other tradition going through who says, maybe this is not true. Right? Maybe, really, you're not chayev until you reach a different shear, which is not covering, which is not what an adult would wear, not what a kid would wear, not none of that, nothing that we've talked about. What's the real standard biblically? Atifa. What would you wrap yourself in? And therefore, they would say that our talit katan is only chayev midrabanan. We'll come back to that, okay? That is the tradition that is quoted here, right? And Mordechai is understood and expanded on. But we'll see how this played out a little bit in the Mari Mintz. Next time, I would say, get through some of these. You don't have to read through everything. I would say, look at the Mari Mintz, and through Shulchan Aruch, I guess, through 16 through 19. Then I gave you all the halacha here, but I'm not going to read it all inside. Then I would say skip to sources 32, right? There are subsections here. I hope we do this in one more shiur, which is, okay, so far we've talked about size, but as I said, one of the big questions here is this only about size or also quality of clothing? So from the mesh tzitzis, I gave you the sources on quality of clothing, and at the end I gave you about how one wears, which I'm not sure I'll do now. Maybe I'll do it now, or maybe we'll do it when we get to the bracha. The question of whether it really is litateif, or whether you say al mitzvah tzitzit, or things like that. I don't know. We'll decide, but I've already gone over time. So let's.